All right, Chris Morales kind of set it all there for us. All three game fives today postponed in an effort to raise awareness. I guess they were boycotted is the best way to describe it. In an effort to raise awareness for the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday, a demand for social justice, a demand for equality, a demand for police reform. And, you know, John, at this point, here's my concern. And we're going to have Clinton Yates on here in a minute. I don't know that this is targeted enough to achieve what they want to achieve.
Well, here's a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski 1 minute ago.
Okay.
Emotions are raw. Players were already worn out of bubble environment prior to the Jacob Blake shooting, and sources say discussions within teams are ongoing about postponing tomorrow's three games to and beyond. Quote, the season is in jeopardy, end
quote.
Whoa. One vet player here tells ESPN. So, Mace, I think that they may be on the brink of deciding that it's not the right time to play basketball. That all the things they thought they could accomplish using their platform to demand social justice and demand change have fallen on deaf ears. And people, they think... players down there in the bubble, and especially the Milwaukee Bucks, who it hits home with them because they're 30 minutes from where Jacob Blake got shot and Sterling Brown, one of their players, had an altercation in January of 2018 on camera with police. They feel that whatever tactics they've used in the past are ineffective and they have to try something new. So both things could be true. Your point that it may not be targeted enough, but I think they would come back at you with, we've tried a bunch of stuff that hasn't worked. Let's shake the trees and try this. And I think that's what we're seeing today.
All right. Clinton Yates joins us right now, our friend who has got great perspective always. Clinton, how are you, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Congrats
on getting back to the old time slot, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Glad to have you. Clinton, first of all, just react to the news of the day. We've been taking a lot of calls on both sides. Some people are mad at the players, saying that they never should have gone down there in the first place or that they shouldn't use politics. Other people are completely supportive. What's your take on what went down today?
Well, I don't want to get too high-minded about this too quickly, but here was my first reaction to this, and this has a lot to do with my background as a human being as much as anything. This is not a boycott. This is, at best, a work stoppage or a walkout, and probably in labor terms would be best qualified as a wildcat strike. Now, the reason for that is very simple. Boycotts are designed with a specific purpose to cripple either economically or otherwise through a power structure in which there is a stated goal. Which, okay, this is how this happens. The bus boycotts back in the day in the American South were specifically designed to make sure that those companies that were refusing to deal with black folks reasonably were financially unable to operate because the people who rode the buses no longer did so. Back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, where my parents both worked in international development in South Africa, people boycotted the Shell Corporation because they were supporting a government that supported apartheid, specifically.
Right.
There's a very different thing from what happens in a boycott than what happens when people who are trying to make a statement about something else simply leave their position to call attention to it. And now the reason that's important is because I don't want to overplay what it is the need these players have is specifically right now. I'm looking at this as a black person seeing other black folks hurting, and it seems to me that basically this league needs a day or perhaps even a week of flatly bereavement. And if somebody said, I can't play today because somebody I care about got shot by whomever, nobody would bat an eye. And I think if you add up the collective feeling of a lot of these players, a lot of folks in America, we're a lot closer to that than we are any real definition of a boycott, which is too much to put on a bunch of guys that are trying their best under tough mental health situations to perform at the highest level. It's important to make sure that these words matter. And I don't care what LeBron James tweets. It's not a boycott at this point. If it gets to a different point where it is, then I'll use that word. Right now, I'm not there, guys.
Wait a minute. Why is it not? Why is it not a boycott?
Wait. Guys, breaking news.
Okay.
Jared Diamond, who is the MLB reporter for the Wall Street Journal, reporting the Milwaukee Brewers are not playing tonight. So this movement, whatever you want to call it, boycott, Clinton, you don't want to use. But whatever it is, it just spread to baseball.
That's pretty surprising to me. I mean, we all know the Josh Hader, whose past that we found out about during the 2018 All-Star game.
Yeah.
MLB was very odd. So, and he actually said something about this. But Craig Counsell was saying, the manager of the Brewers, was saying a couple of things that, for lack of a better term, we like in the past few days. So that doesn't surprise me, although I am a little bit, how do I say this? I'm not necessarily sure how that's going to turn out. But Mace, I do want to hear what you have to say about this discussion regarding that work.
I don't understand the difference between a boycott and what we're seeing right now. If players are saying, we're not going to play, how is that not a boycott?
Because a boycott is specifically happening in a place where what you do has a direct relevance, if not, again, financial ramifications on what it is you're trying to get solved. There is no direct link between the Kenosha police or any other police department across the Americas and the NBA. There just isn't. So by simply saying you're sort of psychologically trying to make a point, that's not what a boycott is. A boycott is a specifically measured action designed to cripple specifically in a certain way. This is not that. This is guys saying, you know what? I don't know if this is worth my time, and I don't know if what I'm trying to say is getting heard. That does not equate to boycott status, not at all, and that's okay. Well, the reason why that's important to state is because I think we have to understand a little bit more the humanity of the players. If these guys are not capable or willing at this stage to do what it is because of how they feel as Black people in America, it does not need to rise to the level of boycott to be a good reason to not play an NBA basketball game, playoffs or not. That's why it's important.
The guys, the LA Sparks, who have a game tonight, just announced their pregame media is being delayed. They're obviously contemplating sitting out tonight. So this may go to all sports. Clinton, where does it go from here? Do you suspect that this is a 1 or 2 day thing, or do you suspect that the season's in jeopardy?
Today, the day of the week is Wednesday. Yeah. I suspect this will probably take through the weekend to resolve, simply in terms of what they want to figure out, in terms of what they want to do. Because let me state this as well. As much as I certainly believe that we need to protect the dignity on some level of these players in terms of what they feel, we heard what Doc Rivers had to say after the game yesterday in terms of how they're trying to manifest their internal emotions about what's happening outside of the bubble. I'm not necessarily sure that this is the smartest decision in terms of trying to get what they have to say heard. I mean, that's just a personal opinion in terms of action. That doesn't mean I think it's stupid. It doesn't mean I think it's wrong. Nothing like that.
Well, we talked about it earlier that the Lakers have a speaker series. And earlier they I can't remember if it was John Carlos or Tommy Smith who came to speak with them. I should find that out specifically. But one of the two came and spoke to them. I think it was Tommy Smith. And he said, when we protested at the 68 Olympics and we raised our fist in the air, we had to get to the medal stand to have it reach its full effect. And that's kind of part of what you're saying, right? You have to have a platform in order to use it, and they may be giving it up here. It's hard to tell.
Yes and no, but I think what I'm also saying is that it's not that they're giving it up entirely. It's just that I think that for what, in a non-judgmental term, is effective, this might not work. And I don't mean effective in terms of to my judgment of, you know, what is an according to Hoyle reasonable reason to protest. That's not what I'm saying. I just think that people are going to tune out if they're not actually watching guys perform and play basketball, which is probably not fair. But I will say this also, Mace, is that I don't think this happens in a non-bubble environment. I think there's a lot to be said from a simple solidarity standpoint. And we heard what Paul George had to say about how difficult it is being inside there. We heard Jason Tatum as well say, I just feel like being Black is more important than playing basketball. And if all of these guys could be living their lives, and maybe this is a corona element too on top of the bubble factor in the playoffs, if people could be living their lives in ways that they felt that their normal creative and expressive outlets were available to them, then people wouldn't feel the need to sort of shut down the whole operation in order to get heard. And so that sort of dovetails with why they're doing it in the first place. But overall, this is a very tricky situation. And I think it's worth saying, yeah, maybe the NBA needs to take a couple days to figure this out, again, simply for the mental health of their workforce, which is important.
So, Clinton, cause and effect. Players are not playing these games right now. The world is paying attention. Everybody, certainly who follows the NBA, because of following the NBA, you know the name Jacob Blake. What's the effect? In other words, I understand the protest and I understand the awareness, but can they really have an effect?
I think that sometimes we tend to misrepresent what the needed effect is of these things sometimes. And the reason why I mentioned the mental health stuff, Mace, is because I think there's a large part of this that's just for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys want to be able to prove to themselves that when the chips are down, they can make a decision about what's important to them that's not going to be completely lambasted by the public or put their livelihood at risk. And that's where this becomes an interesting question. What does the NBA do? Do owners acquiesce to this and say, all right, we'll take the time? I mean, what's the difference between a stoppage for this and a stoppage for, say, I don't know, an outbreak? Is it really that different? Probably not. And so if what this does is it gets the guys back in a state where they feel A, motivated, and B, decent about themselves, that's a net win to me. I don't need anybody outside of the bubble to prove or know anything about what's going on. If the dudes who are playing and entertaining us and putting their bodies at risk the way the rest of, you know, a lot of people are in order to make our lives easier and more back to normal, if they are the ones who feel that they've done this for a reason that was good enough for them, I will accept that as a black person in America.
We're talking to Clinton Yates, who's nice enough to join us now. If you're just joining us, the NBA, in an unprecedented move, is not going to play today. The Milwaukee Bucks refused to take the court for their scheduled game at 1 o'clock with the Orlando Magic because of the shooting of Jacob Blake. They wanted to make a statement. And then the other two games followed. Thunder Rockets was supposed to tip at 3:30. It's off. Lakers Blazers was supposed to tip at 6. It's off. And now we find ourselves in a situation where the Milwaukee Brewers from Major League Baseball have decided to sit out. So a movement has kind of started here. Clinton, the players are obviously exercising whatever leverage they have here to draw attention to this cause. What should they ask for next? In other words, what would be the best way to exercise this spotlight now that they have the spotlight on them?
Well, this is where it gets tricky, and this is where if I'm a general manager of a team, if I'm a president of operations, or even if I'm a head coach or an owner at this point, I make sure that I understand where each guy is coming from. Because, again, not every player or every person in America is necessarily going to be upset about the same thing. A police shooting might affect one player one way. The conditions of, again, this entire 2020 year might be another. The overall pressure of dealing with all this nonsense as a black person, never mind a famous one and never mind a rich one, is multifold. And so if you ask somebody, well, what is it that you really want to do? Well, then you might get three different answers. However, that being said, if you really want to talk about police brutality, well, then you're going to have to talk to police departments. This is not rocket science in that particular regard. And so it's not as if anything that LeBron James or Giannis does or even James Harden or whatever says or does is necessarily going to change years and years and years of a law enforcement mindset that's kind of shoot first, ask questions later when it comes to people of color. It's not about that. But if you want to get an actual seat at the table with somebody who makes decisions in terms of how they train and how they do things, talk to prosecutors across the states in America. I mean, that's the kind of discussion you actually really have to have, because simply standing up and throwing what is, for lack of a better term, a reasonably smart and motivated professional tantrum, it's not about whether or not that's justified. It's about whether or not anybody's going to take that seriously. I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the case, which is why I feel so bad for a lot of these players, because they're doing what they think that they have to do. But ultimately, they don't really have leverage against the oldest system of enforcement that we have in this country, which is the law enforcement system. It's really, really tough.
All right, Clinton, can you hang on for another segment?
Absolutely, gentlemen.
All right, cool. Clinton Yates is with us. I wanted to, before we go to traffic, read a statement that just came from the NFL. We strongly condemn the unprofessional, disturbing, and abhorrent behavior and workplace environment. Oh, you know what? This is completely about Dan Snyder.
Right.
I totally got it, but I will read it. It is about the Dan Snyder situation.
Well, especially because we have Clinton. He's a D.C. guy. We should get
that's right.
story.
Let's react to that story next. It's not what we've been talking about, but there was a fascinating and disturbing story that came out about the Washington football team and owner Daniel Snyder. We'll touch on that coming up next as we continue to follow and keep track of any and all breaking news regarding the postponement of multiple games today, three games down in Orlando in the NBA bubble. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, actually, not feeling good right now. three NBA games, three game fives, have been postponed today. It was started with the Raptors talking to the Celtics yesterday about their game one tomorrow night. And it has spread the Milwaukee Bucks, who, of course, in their backyard is Kenosha, Wisconsin, where Jacob Blake was shot seven times in the back on Sunday afternoon with his three kids in the car. So that's why those games are not happening right now. Clinton Yates is with us. Clinton, the other big story of the day, and in a weird way, he's sort of benefiting from the major NBA story, but a former Washington football team executive in the Washington Post told the Post that Daniel Snyder instructed employees to create a behind-the-scenes video for owner Daniel Snyder featuring clips of partially nude team cheerleaders pulled from a 2008 swimsuit calendar shoot. The Post's 5,500-word story, which strongly recommend, also detailed what several women said is a culture in which women were objectified. Now, you follow the Washington football team very closely. You're a D.C. guy. Clinton, what do you think?
Well, my first reaction was this is, in fact, way worse than that first story that came out detailing more generally the toxic culture in the front office at Ashburn. Why? Because it specifically put Dan Snyder himself in a position to be looked at as one who was benefiting from and or was clearly knowledgeable about some of the sordid things that were going on, which was not necessarily the case with the first story, even though everybody already believed that. Now, why does that matter? Because I think there's a lot of people who think we are trying to look at a scenario like a Jerry Richardson situation. Nobody really cares at this point what Dan Snyder thinks about anything. It's simply the fact that everything he's ever tried has always failed with that team. It's very basic. Think about it. If it wasn't solving a problem or fixing a mistake, can anybody think of anything that was just an idea they came up with, they executed it well, and it ended excellently? No, it doesn't happen. And that's kind of the issue with this team, quickly, pardon me, is that this guy doesn't know how to do anything right, and he's become an embarrassment to the league, not just the franchise or the market at this point, which means he might get pushed out.
Right, but here's that's where I wanted to go. Donald Sterling got pushed out because the other owners wanted him out.
Right.
That's what was the final tipping point. I haven't heard that. No other owner has ever publicly criticized Dan Snyder. Because of that, Clinton, I doubt they're going to force him to sell. You think this article today could be the thing that forces him to sell?
I think that the number one thing that indicated that this is a situation in which he might be on the outs was when Wright was installed as the president of that team effectively by the NFL. And why? Because there is no way in the world Dan Snyder would have hired that guy on his own volition. I just don't believe that.
He has no history of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of that, you know, look, this is a situation where there are so many strikes against him where the concern there is, Ireland, is that the reason why owners are not saying anything is because they might get exposed themselves. But this is so far out in the ether in terms of what's happening there that doesn't even need to be the case to justify moving him out. He's embarrassing the league. Racist name, terrible football team, awful, disgusting culture. I'm sorry, you can go. Simple as that.
NFL statement, we strongly condemn the unprofessional, disturbing, and abhorrent behavior and workplace environment alleged in the report, which is entirely inconsistent with our standards. An independent investigation into these issues is in process, led by highly experienced counsel recommended by our office. We will continue to monitor the progress of this investigation. When the investigation concludes, we will review the findings and take any appropriate action at that time.
And let me get this in there because it affects a lot of fans in our market. The manager of the San Francisco Giants is Gabe Kapler, who the former player who used to work for the Dodgers. Kapler says his team is meeting right now to decide whether or not, this according to Bob Nightingale, whether or not they'll go forward with their game tonight against the Dodgers. So the Dodger game could get kneecapped by this.
Wow. All right, with Clinton Yates here, we're going to go live to the bubble, where Dave McMenamin has got a couple of minutes for us. Dave, thanks for coming on. How you doing, man? Up, standby. Standing by.
The bubble right now, though, is a tense environment, to say the least. I've talked to two people there already today, and it is not something I would want to be doing right now.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because, you know, Paul George made those statements last night about depression and anxiety, and I would imagine and we sort of made sport of Paul George yesterday, playoff P, pandemic P, all that stuff.
Right.
But now it's not funny, because I think we're getting a feel for the way players may be feeling isolated and depressed and be anxious about being inside that bubble and in that sort of confined environment. Joining us right now is Dave McMenamin, who is in the bubble. Dave, thanks for coming on. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dave, I know you only got a couple minutes here, so let's get to it. The Lakers joined in sitting out. They are not going to play today. What's your thought about where this goes from here?
I really don't know, John. And quite frankly, the Lakers didn't know this was happening. And certainly the five teams that joined in the Bucks decision today are standing united with the Bucks. But it was a unilateral decision by the Bucks, and then the other teams followed suit. I had a Lakers player tell me that he was completely unaware that the boycott was occurring. He was taking his pregame nap and woke up to the news. And, of course, this is an issue that the Lakers have had on their hearts and their minds, but they have viewed it differently. Frank Vogel told us yesterday that his team, he didn't get any sense of a boycott plan from them, because they are taking the approach of, we can align our goals here. We can try to strive for a championship, as we've been trying to do since we opened up training camp back in October. And as we advance throughout the playoffs, our platform will become larger and larger with a brighter light shining upon it. And we can keep pushing out our messaging about the need for racial equality and social justice in this country. And part of that message was informed by a conversation with John Carlos, the 1968 Olympian who got up on the bronze medal stand and held up his fist to try to bring attention to the plight of black people in America. He told the Lakers in a conference call within the last couple of weeks that it was his goal to train and get on that medal stand so he could have that moment where his message would be heard even more loud and even more clearly. And that's the way the Lakers saw this thing. Obviously, they are standing together with the Bucks right now, but it's a change in what they had planned, and we'll have to see where it goes from now.
Dave, one report, and this is Woj, emotions are raw, players already worn out of bubble environment prior to the Jacob Blake shooting. The season is in jeopardy, one vet player here tells ESPN. Do you think the season is in jeopardy?
I think we'll learn a lot after this 8 p.m. meeting down here. Every player is invited, and they're going to be able to put all their emotions out in a forum where they can trust one another and find the best solution. Hey, I think it would be naive to say it's not in jeopardy, considering what just occurred so far today. The first time in NBA history you had three teams or six teams decide not to play three games. At the same time, as I just mentioned, you have a very thoughtful leader of the Lakers in LeBron James, who wields a lot of influence on this league. And his positioning has been always, we can do both. We can play these games, and we can continue to use our influence and our platform outside the bubble with our own social programs, things like the I Promise School, things like More Than a Vote. And more, you know, every player is able to do that. So, again, like I said, I think it would be naive to say it's definitely going to be on. At the same time, I don't think we're at that point where we have to start talking about canceling the season.
Yeah,
Dave,
yeah.
It's Clinton Yates. One last question here for you. What is the vibe like in the bubble at this point with this news overall? Not just players, but there's a lot of people there working in a lot of different capacities and doing a lot of things. I imagine this is a very bizarre blow to morale in general.
Yeah, Clinton, it's interesting. I mean, as you mentioned, a lot of people have made sacrifices to be down here, away from their families, away from their loved ones, away from their home and their community, in order to invest in the NBA product and see this season through. For many reasons, you know, certainly financial reasons is a big part of it. And who's anyone to say that financial reasons don't matter while we're in the middle of a pending recession? So I think there's a degree of shock and degree of, wow, okay, this is another thing we're going to process after what's been 5 months of processing one thing after another for people in the NBA community. But the vast majority of folks that I know and I speak to align with the ideals that the Milwaukee Bucks are hoping to achieve. And so I think there's a degree of patience here, but an uneasiness at the same time.
All right, Dave, I know you've got a hard out because you're going to do SportsCenter here, but we appreciate you making a couple of minutes for us, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, thanks, Mel.
Cool. Thanks, Dave.
There's Dave McManaman. Clinton.
Yeah, what a day.
What a day.
Unbelievable.
Thanks for hanging out a bit, man.
Thank you for doing this, Clinton. I know you're getting a lot of requests today, so thanks for coming.
Absolutely, gentlemen. I got a column to go write, and it will be up on The Undefeated tomorrow, so please do check that out.
And we will be reading it. Thanks, Clinton.
No doubt.
All right. Mason and I are streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. We'll get some phone calls in here next. Let you guys react to all of the events of the day. Again, three NBA playoff games, three game fives postponed today, led by the Milwaukee Bucks. Who, of course, in their backyard in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Jacob Blake shot on Sunday. He is paralyzed from the waist down as of this moment. And, of course, we hope that condition improves. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, a very, very strange day in the world of sports, pretty monumental, as three NBA playoff game fives have been postponed. There is going to be, and it's because of the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday, and continued outcry over social justice from NBA players. There's going to be a phone call this afternoon at 5 o'clock Pacific time between all players who want to participate on what is next in the bubble.
So we could get some answers tonight, conceivably during Sedano's show.
And we should point out, Sedano and LZ are coming on right after us. We'll do some crosstalk with them in 30 minutes. Plus, Scott Kaplan is going to do his show tonight from 7 to 10. So we are local between now and 10 o'clock tonight.
And we're waiting to see if this has already bled into other sports.
Yep.
The Brewers have decided not to play, but it will be interesting to see. Gabe Kapler was very outspoken. The Dodgers played the Giants tonight. We'll have to wait and see if we have a Dodger game tonight. The Dodgers played last night, lost in extra innings.
Yep.
It was actually a pretty good game, but the Dodgers scored in both the 10th and the 11th, but blew it in the bottom of the 11th. And so that may not happen. So we may have a crossover effect here in not just watching NBA games not get played, but Major League Baseball games and WNBA games. And there may be a whole movement here that starts all because of Milwaukee. And you heard Dave McManaman say, Mace, the other teams didn't know about this. They were ready to play. The other five teams fell in line after the Bucks said we're out.
Yeah, they just sprung it on everybody. And good for them. You know, it's their state. It's a city that is in their backyard. They wanted to take a stand, and they did. And it has spread. And as you mentioned, the Milwaukee Brewers are not going to play tonight. We'll see what happens with Dodgers and Giants. Gabe Kapler, apparently a huge Black Lives Matter supporter. And we're getting some of your phone calls in here at 877-710-ESPN. Some guys are pissed off about this whole thing.
Tough, you know.
I mean, that's part of what protest is. I mean, protest is designed to be inconvenient for you. It is designed to piss you off. It is designed to get a reaction. And that's what's happening now. That's what's happening across the country. This is getting a reaction. No NBA games today. We don't know when there will be NBA games again. Baseball games being postponed. You know, we don't know where this ends, how far it goes. A lot will be determined, as Dave McMenamin just told us, by this meeting that the players have tonight to discuss the situation at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock Pacific. So George and LZ will be able to bring you the details of that a little bit later on this afternoon.
And you wonder, you know, a lot of people asking me, when will this next Laker game be? And the answer is nobody knows.
Yeah.
We don't know if they go on to their regularly scheduled games tomorrow or if they back everybody up a day or what they're going to do. But I think we're going to get some answers either late tonight or tomorrow. Let's go to Jeff in Fullerton, who's online. Hey, Jeff, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how's it going? This is Ted from Fullerton.
Ted. Hey, how you doing, Ted?
Our screen said
good,
Jeff.
Hey, so I just want to say, why is it that we never hear about white guys getting killed by cops? Because statistically, more white guys get killed than black guys.
Right, but the percentages aren't that way, Ted.
We never hear about white guys getting killed, though. Why is that?
Well, because it doesn't happen very often.
But there's more white guys getting killed than black guys.
Unarmed white guys are not being shot. We do not have a crisis of unarmed white guys being shot.
More white guys are getting killed by cops than black guys.
Okay,
look it
up. Wait a minute, Ted, here's the reason. 43% of the country is white. 13% of the country is black. There's a disproportionate amount of black guys being killed. And in the videos of the black guys being killed, Ted, you have to admit, there seems to be, and this is consistent, multiple chances to avoid shooting the guy. You didn't have to lean on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes. You didn't have to shoot Jacob Blake in the back. You saw those videos, right?
Yeah, I mean, where's just a taser? Why not just tase the guy instead of shooting him seven times in the back?
We only hear about white guys. We only hear about black guys. We never hear about white guys.
Well, the next time you hear about a white guy, an unarmed white guy being shot by the police, please call us back.
And Ted, look up the definition of disenfranchised minority. I think that you'll get some answers to your questions. You know, again, Doc Rivers said it best earlier. White families, Mason and I were not lectured by our dad when we were little kids to make sure we acted a certain way around police officers or else we might get shot. That's a conversation that every black father has with his kid. And it's just sad. It's just the fact that that conversation needs to take place is wrong.
Yeah.
And we should do something about it. And this was the NBA players' way of saying, we're going to do something different because everything we've tried so far hasn't worked. And if you can't see that, from everything that's happening in the world, then you're not paying attention.
And by the way, good for the Bucks. Woj is reporting that inside the locker room, the Bucks were on a conference call with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So they're actually reaching into the controversy and the debate in Wisconsin about what to do with those police officers and how that investigation is going along.
Right. We'll try and take a few more of your calls here. 877-710-ESPN.
Ireland 710 ESPN. And yeah, really, really dramatic day in sports. We were planning to get ready for Lakers versus Blazers. Pregame was going to start about 15 minutes from right now. But instead, the Milwaukee Bucks decided they weren't going to play in protest over the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Orlando joined them. That was the opponent. Then Houston and Oklahoma City joined. And now the Lakers and Portland have joined. There will be no NBA basketball today. There will also be no Milwaukee Brewers baseball today. J.R. Smith tweeted, oh, you don't hear us? Well, now you can't see us.
And it's sad but true.
Yeah.
Here's Tom from Fountain Valley. Tom, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing? It's Scott. How are you guys?
Hey, Scott. Okay, man.
What in the world?
Hey, I love your show, and thanks for having me.
Sure.
I think my opinion is that the social injustice is not the problem. The problem is racial inequality. Social injustice is a symptom. Racial inequality has been going on for hundreds of years.
And yes.
Has it gotten better? Yes. Has it gotten better fast enough? Absolutely not. And the actions of a boycott or even or not playing the rest of the games, I'd really I mean, is it really going to raise more awareness? I mean, do we
Well, it's
have...
a good question, Scott. It's a fair question whether or not this is the right move tactically. But I think the phrase you left out of your assessment there is police brutality. That's what they're protesting.
Social injustice is a
wider net. But what they're trying to do is get the way black people are treated by the police changed. And they've tried everything short of boycotting. They've tried to put things on their jerseys and do interviews and write Black Lives Matter on the court. And they've done everything you can do to demand change, and they haven't gotten it. So they're trying this. I can't criticize. I mean, what would you do if you were a black guy and you keep watching videos of people being beat up by the police just because they're black?
That's a great question. And what I would do is I would play the games. I would use my influence. I mean, look what advertisers pay for TV time.
Right, right.
I mean, obviously that's important time that can spread a message. This is their time. They're shining. They're role models. They get out there, they play, they use their platform there. If you really, I mean, we're putting Band-Aids on a symptom.
Well, in fairness, let's talk about this. So the Milwaukee Bucks say we're not going to play.
Yeah.
What do? They got on a conference call with the Wisconsin Attorney General and the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin to talk about where this investigation is, how it's progressing, trying to get the facts, trying to put some pressure on them. So they're actually taking really direct action.
That's true. That's true. And maybe it will affect significant change. But I still look at that as a band-aid. Racial inequality, what is the root of racial inequality?
Well, there's hundreds of years of history is the root of that. But it doesn't explain...
But basically it's ignorance, right?
Well, probably. But it doesn't explain the police brutality. I mean,
we've had two officers today
that say that training is critical. And we had one guy on that said... He's a second-generation officer. Between him and his dad, they have 50 years of police work, and neither one of them have ever fired their weapon. That guy the other night, Scott, got shot 7 times in the back.
Exact. Totally unjust. He should be prosecuted. And maybe this will affect some change, but the real change has to come through helping with racial inequality. And I think that the best way to do that is what Dwight Howard did. You play the games and you donate your money. And what do you do with that money? My suggestion is you build great, not good, great schools. I just listened to
Right.
Herschel
it's not
Walker
bad,
talk
yeah,
about
it's not a
education.
Bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Hey, Scott, let's let somebody else get in.
Thanks,
Scott.
Thank you for your help. Appreciate
here's,
it, man.
Here's Dan in Las Vegas. Hey, Dan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. I'm proud of the players for what they did. I think that they exercised their right free speech and to be heard. I was looking forward to a Lakers game tonight, but you know what? I stand with them. But you know, after listening to a few of the calls today and stuff that I've heard over the years, we need to start really getting on people that are using money as a disguise for racism. Because whenever these players want to say something, we always hear about, they're overpaid. Shut up,
yes.
Dribble. It's all the time. There's people listening to this show right now. People of color in South Central Watts, they think that people don't care about them because they don't have the money to get things done. They don't have to back stuff. And whenever one of them, like LeBron or Keyshawn or Kobe, whenever they stand up for something, they're overpaid. Shut up. And here's a good argument to it. Here's Drew Brees with his statement a couple months ago, which I immediately hear in my head, Bob Uecker going, just a bit outside.
Right.
And people got on him. You guys got on him. But
yeah, sure.
The first thing we hear is his exemplary charitable record.
Right.
LeBron James opens a school to help underprivileged kids. He wants you to stop killing black men.
Yeah, it's not like what they're asking for, Dan, here is unreasonable.
But it is complicated. It is complicated because really it comes down to police reform and how do, A plus B equals C. How does this protest and this, Clinton doesn't want to call it a boycott, but it's just easier to call it a boycott, affect police reform? Like, what? How did the two connect?
Well, I think it draws attention to it. And I think that you mentioned it earlier. Do people know the Jacob Blake story if the NBA players don't get involved?
Yeah, see, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think my feeling is that this is an unbelievably selfless act by players. They're giving up what they do. They're giving up what the playoff games. They're giving up all the excitement and the emotion that goes along with this. And they're being selfless. They're looking at a situation somewhere else in the country and saying, that's got to stop. That doesn't stand. We're not going to live with that. And they're using what platforms they have. And by the way, that is a big bogus thing. That you make millions of dollars. What do you complain about? Just, you know, that is such hacky take.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with it.
No.
Matter of fact, the players are potentially giving up money by not playing.
Yeah.
So it's just a completely hollow argument. Here's something interesting. Cubs will play tonight, but Jason Hayward will not, after taking himself out of the lineup after talking to manager David Ross. So there's an example of an individual player who doesn't feel right about playing.
Jeff Passan says that following the Milwaukee-Cincinnati game being canceled tonight, that sources tell ESPN among other teams are considering it. Among those currently discussing, the Seattle Mariners, who have the most black players of any team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and Scott Servais, who... you know, the manager is talking to Jace Tingler, who's the manager of the Padres right now, and they may be calling that game off. So this is a historic day in sports, Mace. We may never see another one like it.
Nope.
George Sedano and LZ Granderson in here next.
Yeah, they're coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Kenny Smith, inside the NBA host, just walked off the set. He says, quote, as a black man, as a former player, I think it's best for me to support the players and just not be here tonight.
Interesting. Well, I know they're going to show movies because they were supposed to have games.
Right.
What's interesting is he's one of three black men who's a regular on that show. Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal are also regulars. I wonder if they'll stay. The thing that's interesting about this story, Mace, is where does it go from here?
Sure.
Obviously, today's news that all three of these games have been canceled is historic. Tomorrow, do these, you know, Boston and Toronto were already talking about playing. Do they follow?
I can't imagine that game happens now.
Well, if it doesn't, though, who's first back into the pool? You know what I mean? Does any game happen? Because somebody has to go first, right?
Don't you think every team is going to take the opportunity to boycott one game?
Maybe.
Or we could be sitting here tomorrow saying we're getting ready for Lakers-Blazers.
Correct.
I
have no idea how they're going to handle this. They could theoretically handle it as just like a rainout day in baseball.
Yep.
And, well, you know, one thought I had is that since all these teams are set up to play every other day.
Yes.
The other side of the bracket, you know, like, for example, this week, the Lakers were a Monday, Wednesday, Friday team. The other side of the bracket was Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Since tomorrow is Thursday, maybe you keep those guys on their every other day schedule and just move all these games to Friday. But I don't know. They just announced that all three WNBA games will still be played tonight.
Interesting.
Because the WNBA people have been some of the most active in social justice in all of sports. But they're going to go ahead and play. And we've got George Sedano with us now. George, what's your reaction to what is probably a day you were never going to forget?
You know, John, I was very proud, I would say, to be someone. I know we always joke about we're in the league, right?
Yeah.
But I was very proud that the players took this position. I didn't think that it was going to be the case when this stuff started to surface yesterday about the Bucks, or excuse me, about the Celtics and the Raptors.
Yep.
And I do think Milwaukee being the team to start this because of what's transpired in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I think was apropos. So I am very proud of them. I do believe that they are going to take their time with this. I heard you talking about when you think games will resume. I do think games will resume because I think the overwhelming majority of players, and I know Chris Haynes has reported this on Yahoo, and I've talked to a few guys recently that believe that the platform is worth having and it's a useful resource. But I do think that they need to recalibrate what is going on and also grab the attention of people in power. And I think that this has certainly done that.
LZ Granderson joining us now, too. LZ, is coming back and playing something you would like to see happen? I know you said on your show yesterday that you would support a boycott if it happened, and you were kind of hoping that the players might do this. Do you want him to continue to do this, or would you like him to come back and play?
Honestly, John, I'm not even there yet. Not okay. Even close to thinking about when or how play resumes in either baseball for the Brewers or in the NBA. I'm still wrapping my head around the fact that a 17-year-old kid from a suburban town in Illinois drove over to Kenosha and shot three people, killing two, and sending another one to the hospital. So I'm still there. So I need more time to process the additional deaths that have happened since Mr. Blake was shot seven times in the back by these officers. I can't even get to, when are the Lakers going to finish off the series yet? Because I can't even get there yet. I'm still trying to figure out what happened in that young man's life that compelled him to drive 25 to 30 miles to Kenosha and kill people who are out in the streets, upset, angry, unjustifiably so, because of what transpired on Sunday.
But LZ, that sentiment, now obviously this kid, you know, automatic whip, all that stuff. I mean, just outrageous. But that sentiment, if you go through Twitter right now, there are an awful lot of people saying they're pissed off. Why aren't there games? The protests isn't working. All that kind of stuff is floating around out there. How do you react to that?
Well, I've been in journalism a long time, as we all have been in media for a long time. One of the things one of my first editors-in-chiefs for a newspaper told me was to keep in mind that the letter to the editors, the people that write to you, are the minority.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are tweeting, I know people think Twitter rules the world, and
yes,
you certainly can do a lot of powerful things with Twitter, but that's not everybody. And so I don't feel that it's necessary to address every single comment on Twitter, even if it's being tweeted out by someone who's reputable. Just because someone tweets something doesn't mean that it requires a response. As I said, and I'm being very sincere about this, I'm still trying to figure out how someone at 17 years of age thought driving over 30 miles and shooting people and killing them, very much like Dylan Hood in Carolina in the church, Emmanuel, killing nine people not too long ago. Like, I'm there. I'm not on Twitter responses or Twitter trolls. I'm not on rescheduling games yet. I'm on this part of the conversation still, because I think it's imperative that we feel this.
Yeah.
It's imperative that we internalize this.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. This tweet just came through. Farhan Zaidi, who's the president of baseball operations for the Giants, Scott Harrison,
for the Dodgers.
Scott Harrison, Gabe Kapler, just had a long meeting with veteran Tony Watson. Now Giants and Dodgers coming off the field.
Yeah, they're going to
have a meeting. So that game possibly will not be happening.
Yeah, there's a meeting happening, according to reports, about what's going to happen with that game. But yeah, Gabe Kapler has certainly been in the corner of not playing today. And I would imagine Dave Roberts is probably has a similar sentiment.
You know what's interesting, guys, is that the NBA – was surprised by this. You know, we had Dave McMenamin on about a half an hour ago. He said the other five teams were surprised by this, that Milwaukee made this decision on their own. It happened close to home for the Bucks, and so they decided, LZ, I think some of the sentiments you're having today and how upset you are was resonating with some of the players. Maybe not over the exact same thing, but still, they did not want to play basketball. They didn't think it was important. Guys, this is young people leading a movement. This is not the older – these aren't coaches and GMs and owners. The owners for the Bucks have already come out and said they were unaware this was happening. This was Giannis and his teammates basically getting together and saying, we've got to lead by example here. And I think at the end of the day, that's a really good sign that there are people that are socially conscious enough to say, look, whatever tactics we've been using for our cause have been ineffective. We're going to try something different, and it's important enough for us not to worry about money. LZ, do you see that side of it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you go to my social media, Twitter right now, as well as the LA Times website, I did a story that posted late last night in which I talked to people from Kenosha. And one of them was a 16-year-old by the name of Ian Wytok. And Ian has been organizing, not just participating, but organizing protests in Kenosha post-George Floyd. 16 years old.
Yeah, reminds you of those Parkland kids who organized after the shooting.
And by the way, that's something that we should take into account. Generationally, things do slowly change. And it does seem like this younger generation, and if you looked at the average person marching during the George Floyd protests, they tended to be young, white, black, brown, but younger. Generationally, I think this has a chance to change. But George, go ahead.
I just want to interject really quick.
Please.
When it comes to the civil rights movement, it's always been young people. John Lewis was younger than my son when he marched across the bridge. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't old enough to rent a car. He wasn't 25 when he got involved in the civil rights movement. It's always been young people. So this is, in my opinion, based upon the history that I'm familiar with, par for the course. At least as it pertains to black individuals. Maybe for white individuals, which admittedly I'm not as in depth in knowing, you know, what age bracket they were in once they got involved with social justice movement, but particularly for young black people, they've always been engaged. Yeah.
George, do you think that, I mean, there are a lot of players, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule that as the stars of the league go, then everyone else will follow, the Chris Pauls, the LeBron James. This feels different to me. This feels like it's a groundswell of more than just five or six all-stars, which are normally the way things get, you know, mountains move in the NBA. You agree? You think that this is more than just the elite guys that are moving this thing?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, John. And I think that, again, clearly this is about showing real unity. The players are going to have a meeting in the bubble at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and they're going to meet about what's next, right? And I think that is an important step. And the organization of it, I think, is important. To your point, there's going to be a collective there. There's, you know, 300 players or whatnot there, including then you have coaches and whatnot as well. So I do think this is different. And I do think that whether the league is there or not, my assumption is there will probably be league personnel there. Maybe Adam Silver will be there. So I think that it allows the players to show the unity, the organization that they need to have to create the change that they need to have. And also, by the way, influence not only the league and the corporations like ours, like Nike, like Time Warner, who have an interest in the NBA, but the owners, the billionaire owners who wield a lot of power in local government in their particular areas to make the necessary changes as well.
Yeah, this is part of the reason why when Aaron Rodgers said what he said, what was it, yesterday? And I don't know if I did it in crosstalk, but I certainly talked about it on our show, George, that I wasn't impressed. Like, you don't get a cookie for acknowledging racism anymore. Just because you're a quarterback or because you're a white male, you don't get special credit because you recognize there's a problem. That's no longer good enough. It's a whole bunch of nothing to me. When you talk in generalities about fairness and everyone needs to be treated equal and why can't we love, I don't need to hear that ish right now. I want voices to be directed towards solutions and identifying problems.
Okay, so LZ, to me, the biggest focus of this, we're talking about police brutality, is police training. And you know, I mentioned I listened to a podcast where there was an expert on police training, and he said police really shouldn't just be trained and go to work, that they need to be retrained once in a while, that they need to learn to de-escalate, and they need to learn to, I mean, they, you know, the point is that police reform is sort of where this thing is at right now. And I don't quite get from, I don't know how we're going to get to that. Do you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are several points of entry in which both the players as well as the owners of these franchises can enter this conversation and foster real change. One of the things that desperately needs to be addressed is the symbiotic relationship between police unions, local officials, particularly district attorneys and attorney generals,
yep,
people who are supposed to be watchdogs. We can't continue to allow them to behave as if they're fraternity brothers or sorority sisters. They aren't supposed to have that kind of relationship. They're supposed to work together, yes, but if something goes awry, the public needs to have trust in the system. And it's very difficult to have trust in the system when police unions are picking and funding campaigns to the candidates that they want, and then those candidates never prosecute police officers. That's a main problem that can be addressed by having people with great wealth and influence infiltrate and talk about that. Another thing is the conversation in regards to when people refer to defunding the police. All that really means is that instead of spending extra millions to over-police a community, that you divert some of that cash so that you can do things like having training centers, better schools, things like childcare. Those are some of just two examples of points of entry that the people who are boycotting right now can help influence, that can also help in terms of building trust between law enforcement and minority communities. Right now, the trust is frayed at best.
Guys, two more breaking stories here. The Seattle Mariners, who have more black players on their roster than any other, have elected not to play tonight. So the Padres-Mariners game is canceled. And Lindsay DeArcinello, who writes for The Athletic in Buffalo, is going against what Holly Rowe reported about 15 minutes ago. According to her, WNBA players are not going to play tonight. They're going to cancel all three games. So we're getting conflicting reports about the WNBA. Holly Rowe said about half an hour ago that the plan was for them to play all those games. Now we're getting conflicting reports that they may not play those after all. So this is a historic day that we've never seen. And it's not over. This meeting in the bubble that'll happen while you guys are on the air is going to be probably what determines the future of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that means George and LZ are must listen. We'll see what comes out of that meeting at 5 o'clock Pacific. Scott Kaplan will be here tonight from 7 to 10. Again, we're local to 10 o'clock now, so he will continue to follow the story and get your reactions. I would love to tell you what we've got planned for tomorrow, but there is no way to know. There is
no doubt about that.
No way to know.
Yeah,
but we'll be here no matter what at 1 o'clock.
All right, and we now go. Do we have Karen? All right, no Karen. So when we come back, it'll be George and LZ taking over on 710 ESPN.